Community Radio, Kilkenny City, 88.7 FM.
And welcome back to Kilkenny Today. It is about 12 minutes to 5, and we're still on the 2nd of March. We're talking to David Moore, who is the editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine. And we've got quite a few bits and pieces to have a look at here, haven't we, David?
Absolutely. The universe is always an exciting place.
And it still keeps turning, thank God. So we've got the full worm moon. What's that?
Yeah, so if anybody has a clear eastern horizon now, they can probably see it rising. It goes down around, full moon always goes down, sun goes down, and then full moon always rises around about the same time. And tomorrow is technically the time of the full moon, around noon, but it'll look full to the naked eye tonight and tomorrow night. So we want people to take their best pictures of the March full moon. It's always called the warm moon, popularly, because worms start to come out this time of year. And you can line it up with interesting, you know, things on the horizon. They can be buildings, landmarks, even people. People who get very creative around this time of the lunar cycle. And this full moon is particularly interesting to the world because there's going to be a total eclipse of the moon tomorrow. Unfortunately, Ireland won't see it. It's something for the west of the Americas and then Asia. They'll get this chance to see it. But we will get our chance on New Year's Eve 2028.
And I was just reading here in the notes that you sent me. It's because it's known as the worm moon because the earthworms become active again.
Yeah, so spring starts on March the 20th, certainly not February the 1st, and not even March the 1st, as some would have you believe. The seasons are all controlled by the equinoxes and the solstices. So the equinox in March for the Northern Hemisphere, Ireland included, is March the 20th this year. But in the lead up to spring, things start to happen, and the earthworms become active again. Grounds are as frozen as it used to be. Their casts can be seen. A lot of these full moon names came from North American tribes because, of course, the Americans dominate the internet, and so their culture goes back in that direction. There are other names for the full moon around the planet, but the Native American names have stuck mostly as the popular names for the full moon, and this is what happened in North America. It doesn't happen, of course, in the Southern Hemisphere. They're heading into their autumn as we head into our spring. So if you don't see any earthworm casts around the landscape, don't worry too much about it. It's just a popular name. Each of them, full moons every month, has a popular name, and this one's the worm moon.
Well, I've been seeing worms all over my all over the road at the moment because I've been trying to escape the flooding. I think it's because they're trying to escape the water. away from that one, we've also got Leo's brightest star, the constellation Leo.
Yeah. So while you're watching the moon rising, if you take a look near the moon, you'll see the brightest star in Leo plainly visible to the naked eye, even with a full moon near it. They're technically closest tomorrow morning, but you'll see them, you'll be able to cover the moon and the star with your fist. They're that close together. So if you see a bright star near the moon when you're trying to snap it, send your photo into Astronomy Ireland magazine, that's Leo. Oh, sorry, that's Regulus, the brightest star in Leo, one of the brightest stars in the sky. So I think a lot of people will be focusing on the moon tonight. They might want to know which one it is. And again, you've got another chance to photograph the warm moon rising around sunset, and you'll see Regulus even closer to it. So just above the moon tomorrow evening, in fact, will be Regulus. And, they'll get this close every month, but to be able to cover both the moon and the star easily with your fist at arm's length is an unusual sight, so do enjoy that as well. And one thing to watch out for when you're watching the moon rising that you won't pick up on your photograph with your smartphone is the moon illusion. And that can be a dramatic effect, that the full moon will look two or three times bigger than it really is. It's just one of these optical illusions that we don't really understand why it happens. Doesn't always happen. I watch full moons rising all the time, and it's actually quite rare that the moon looks super big, but I've seen it a few times, and it is awesome. It looks much bigger than, say, the time of a supermoon, so watch out for that. The moon has to be low down We think it might be something to do when the human eye is things in the foreground to scale up against. It can somehow think the moon is closer than it really is. Maybe this goes back to our ancient times on the plains of Africa, when humans saw the predators and thought they were close than they really are and ran first, and they went on to breed the next generation. The rest got eaten.
and that doesn't and that you can see that on the you can see that with your eyes, but you can't see it on the it doesn't happen on the camera.
No, and if you were to measure the actual width of the moon on your camera, or if you had a telescope where the moon fits right in the field of view and you looked at it when it's rising and you think it's two or three times bigger than when it's high overhead a few hours later, it would still fit exactly into the same telescope field of view. So we know it's not real. It's not the air magnifying by some lens effect or something. It's actually just something happening in the human eye. You've probably seen all these optical illusions in books and magazines online. Draw two parallel lines, draw a couple lines crisscross across, and you'd swear to goodness that one of them was bent, even though you know you drew it with the same ruler.
That and the stairs going around and around and around. Have you got any tips for the photography?
We email our members occasionally, especially telling them when these full moons are coming up, and give them some ideas. So there was a lovely photograph I saw internationally of a statue on top of a building, I think it was Cupid, and there was the moon sitting right in its arms. And another thing you do with the kids is you can get them to stand with their hand outstretched, and then you can move yourself with your smartphone looking at the screen until it looks like the moon is resting in their hand. And they'll have the full moon on the palm of their hand, which would be quite a cute photograph for the family album into the future. And if you look online past past full moons rising, you'll get lots of creative ideas. But if anyone's got a new idea, we'd love to see it, publish it in Astronomy Island magazine. And by the way, go to astronomy.ie, the website. You'll see the Contact Us page every website has to have. And in there, it'll tell you where to send your photographs for the magazine.
Oh, good. What other things have we got? We've got a seven-planet conjunction.
This is not as easy to see from Ireland as it's been made out on the internet, because there are other places in the world where the planets rise at a steeper angle. They get to see them better. And probably tonight's the last chance you'll get to see. If you look over where the sun goes down, as soon as the sun sets, which, of course, is not... It'll be right at the end of the show, basically, 6 minutes past... it'll vary a few minutes around the country. Then, as soon as it gets dark, in fact, in strong twilight, you might see a very bright star, very low down. I saw it last week, and that's the planet Venus. Mercury has just been in the evening sky. Now, it's moving out of the way, and you're probably going to need binoculars to see it just to the right of Venus. And then just to the upper left of Venus is Saturn. That's been visible to the naked eye for months. Now dipping into the sun's glow, it's going to go between, or we're going to go put the sun between Saturn and us. That'll swamp it. We won't see it after a few more days. But there's three planets you can see. You need a telescope to see Neptune right next to Saturn. But that's four within sort of a binocular field of view. And then there's Jupiter very high up, blazing away. It dominates the evening sky with the naked eye. And Uranus, the other planet, you need binoculars to see that. And you'll need a star map. But the experts could technically see every single planet except Mars, which is too close to the sun. And, of course, they're all saying six-planet alignment. But what they're forgetting is the Earth is easy to see. That makes it seven in my books. So it's a seven-planet conjunction.
And how often would that something like that happen?
It can happen fairly often. I made it on the television last year when it happened with all of the planets, including Mars that time. And if people go to our astronomy.ie website, look at our YouTube channel for February, I think it was last year, they'll see actually a recording of that TV interview showing the pictures I took of the planet. I managed to photograph them all. It was more a fluke of the weather than anything else. I've been trying to photograph these ones, and the weather just won't let me do it. Maybe I'll get a chance tonight, perhaps tomorrow night, then that's it. So they're happening once a year, but that won't always happen. The planets will slowly move out of alignment. We need Uranus and Neptune that go around the sun, very slow to cooperate, and they're going to move away eventually. So I'm not sure if we get it again next year, but it's a rare treat, and you do need a telescope to see some of these planets. It has to be admitted. It's really only a quirk that they're all roughly in the same evening sky at the same time. It doesn't mean anything, and Jupiter is very far away from Neptune nearly half a sky away. So it's not as if they're all lining up in a perfect line like some of the diagrams I've seen online.
And it's not, it's, what are the, there's the one where it kind of has the clock, it's an astral clock or something like that, or a planetary clock that has everything that kind of swings around and around and around. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, you think of an orrery, one of those little mechanical solar systems that you can get. Yeah, named after, I think, Lord Orrery down in Cork, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow.
Nice Irish link there.
Good local link, or localish. So we've also got Spica.
Yeah. So if you're not fed up looking at stars near the moon, you've got another chance on Friday when you'll see the brightest star in Virgo. Its name is Spica. It's a giant star over 250 light years away, which is quite distant as stars go. And it's going to be near the moon, which won't be full by then, as they rise in the southeast. So watch out for that. Probably around 11 o'clock by then, the moon will be rising. There's diagrams for all these events, by the way, in Astronomy Ireland magazine. And if you join on the website, you're instantly emailed a link to what to see in the sky, and the paper magazine will appear in the post a couple of days later.
And you've got your public lecture online on Monday, 9th of March at 7 p.m.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to mention this again next week, because it's 7 p.m. on Monday, and it's all about Venus, Earth's evil twin. Venus is the same size as the Earth, but very different. It's 400 degrees Celsius on the surface. Hotter in some places, the rocks are almost melting. It's got a runaway greenhouse effect, even though it's the same size as the Earth and only a little bit closer to the Sun than we are. So it's a bit of a lesson for us as to what could happen. And there's loads of fascinating facts. And we've got a great talk by Roy Gusson, who's from the UK, but it's done online, so he's zooming in. And anybody can watch this talk from the comfort of their own home. Great for the kids and the whole family to watch, 7 p.m. on a Monday night. All the details are on astronomy.ie, which, by the way, is where you'll also see our social media. At least follow us there for free. And sign up for the magazine. Costs about €1 a week to get it in the post.
Brilliant. Okay, well, we've got to leave it there, I'm afraid, David. So thanks very much for joining us again. That's David Moore, the editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine.
My pleasure.
And sign up at astronomy.ie. It's well worth it. I've done it. Thanks very much, David. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.